And certainly he's going to make mistakes. He's going to have these curiosities. And he may even abuse this great property or tool I'm going to give him. But I know the conclusion of my creation. I know what I'm trusting is worthy of my trust. See, individually, we may not be worthy of this trust, right? But collectively, we are. And collectively, we are one. We are Adam. Huh? And God entrusted it to Adam. And God tested wanted to prove to the angels that the one he was producing was superior in intellect to them. He said, tell me your names to the angels. He said, tell me your names if you know. The angels replied, we have no knowledge except what you gave us. Then he said to Adam, tell them their name. When Adam expressed the power and ability of mind, of intellect that God gave him, and he told those angels their name, that was a scientific unfolding. Yes. So actually, the first man represents the best in all people in terms of what the intellect can do. First man represents the establishment of the human being as an intellect. And the proof of that in the Bible is that when God created Adam, Adam began to produce sons. And his sons became the industrial leaders for the generations to follow. They produced ironworks, everything. They even produced music and instruments to play the music. This is the Bible, Genesis. Yes. So if the Bible tells us in Genesis that all of the sciences came from Adam, his generation, the generation of Adam, produced all the sciences. So he's the father of what? Not only mankind, Adam, according to the Genesis, is the father of industry and the sciences. Read it for yourself, you curious ones. The sleepers, stay with me. You're going to wake up soon. Yes. So, the heart, then the intellect, then production. Heart, intellect, then production. A productive world. We African Americans have been cut off from that situation needed for man's intellect to be productive. How has that been done? We came out of slavery denied the freedom to engage the material world with our hands, our feet, our eyes, our minds. We know there are few exceptions, very few. Some Africans were not slaves over here, we're told. But there were a fortunate few, very few. And the situation that they were in limited them too, although we were limited by plantation slavery. The most of us, the majority of us, out of that physical bondage now, physical slavery, we were free to do what? Go on our own. Where is there to go? Long ago, my people stopped speaking African languages or dialects. I don't know any language but the language of the master. And none of us are educated. We have no prior knowledge from our fathers or forefathers. So all we can go on is what they give us. Well, if you want to be loved and want to be a good servant here on my land, you better go to church. I don't know what any other religion is. I haven't been left free to search the libraries to find out what religions and people believe in over the planet Earth. I haven't been permitted to read books, not even the Bible. until now. Freedom. Now they're telling me I can get the Bible. I can go to church. So we went to church. We got Bibles to get church. This is not to put down the Bible, not to put down the church. This is just to review the truth of our past so we can understand the point that's going to be made soon. So here we are now. We come in contact with Christianity. So we start to like it and appreciate it. A good book. As one slave said, it's a good book. And the master said, yes, he's okay. And I agree, it's a good book. It has produced a lot of good. A lot of good people, a lot of good Christians. And a lot of good in the world. It's a good book. But it's not my people's book by choice. It's my people's book by circumstance, not by choice. Okay? That's the reality. All right. Now here we are. We come out of Christianity. I mean, we come into Christianity. And soon we learn that white people sitting with them or being in the same congregation with them, that's not the situation that we need to really enjoy service. If we had to be a slave like that, a free slave, pardon me, free slave. We had to be too uptight with white folks. So one of the slaves branch off from the white church and starts his own church. The African Methodist Episcopal Church. He starts his own church. First church for us in this country. Am I right or wrong? You who know history. First church for us in this country. Starts a black man. And now, here he is. All that he knows, he learned from them. So he's starting off now on his own. So when he runs out of what makes sense, he has to keep going. His people, they got their mouths over the ear. Yes, yes. So he had to keep going. So he starts putting his stuff together. So when you can't work in the light, you work in the dark. So not able to work in rational field too much, he started working more in the spiritual field than in the rational field. So he spiritualizes his community. And he caused them to go further away from rational foundation than they were when they were saved. They're going further away from rational foundations now. But at the same time, they encouraged to study, to learn. They're learning how to read and write. So some of them are becoming studious in other areas. They're leaving the church. Some leave the church and they go out. They want to become doctors. Some want to become lawyers. Some want to become masons or whatever, brick masons, whatever. So they're branching out into these distant fields. So here their intellects are building up in the practical world too. Intellects are growing and building up in the practical world, in the living world of objective reality. But their spirit is held by the church. So eventually this particular condition brought us to be called soul folks. Soul folks. Meaning that you're more spiritual than you are anything else. To characterize you, we have to say you are soul folks, meaning that you're not people of the real world. You're people of spirit. Soul folks. People of spirit. Now we know what we mean. We mean that we just got terrific souls, you know. We got great souls. We're alive in our souls, you know. We're soul brothers. We turned on spiritually inside here, you know. We got something going here, you know, that's unseen, you know, something unseen going for us here, you know. We connected soul-wise, brother. You know, we ain't got no economy, brother, but don't worry, that doesn't matter, brother. We connected soul-wise, brother. We soul folks, you know. We know all the language, but getting back to reality, we were... We were spiritualized more than rationalized. We became spiritual more than rational. And the majority of us right now, we respond to spiritual influences much quicker than we respond to rational influence. So we can't get the majority of our people to become productive in a real world, because they're attuned spiritually, but not attuned rationally. So here comes Islam. Islam comes. And instead of addressing man as a mystic, it addresses him as an intellect. And instead of appealing to his unseen body, it appeals to his productive tool that manifests itself in a material, seen world. So man is created to be intelligent and was given intelligent speech by God, who wants him to utilize, that means make good use of, wants him to utilize whatever God has made in the heavens and whatever God has put on the earth, or made in the earth. So this kind of teaching, and Muhammad too, the prophet, being known by us as a man who said, God never created anything more valuable than the human intellect. It means more valuable in terms of what it can produce in a real world, objective world. If you want to get benefits in this world, the intellect is the greatest instrument for giving benefit to us in this material, objective world. The intellect, the human brain. So Muhammad said of the Aql, it's called Aql, the Arabic, Quran, the Arabic term Aql. He said that God has not created anything more valuable in terms of how its benefits can come. When we look at everything in man's world that we say is great, you go to a land where they produce nothing, you see nothing but trees, it's just like God made it. So, they haven't progressed here. Then you come to another land and you see instruments for production. You see instruments for cultivating land, making crops and harvesting, factories, packaging and cutting and packaging and sending things around, and transportation lines and all that. Oh, you say, this is a progressive world. And all that you're looking at came out of the intellect of man. Right? Yes, where it all came from. Came out of the intellect of man. The little shoe shine boy who shined shoes until the man to put his foot up on his knee. And then he finally thinks he uses his mind. So I can make something for him to put his foot on. Don't you know the first shoe shine box that a man put his foot up on to have a shoe shine, it was not made by industry, it was made by the industry of a little boy using his mind. Our man just using his mind. So he used his mind, he made something, cut it and shaped it, so the foot fit there, the heel foot there, he puts it down, shine the man's shoes. When you look at it, what are you looking at? You're looking at the product of that young boy or that man's mind, his intellect. So when you look at all these things, you're looking at the product of the intellect. So we want to become more productive. Isn't that obvious where we should be putting our attention? When you look at the world and see what has produced it, the intellect has produced all this. The rational mind has brought us all these things. We know the heart plays a part in that, because if you don't care about things, you ain't going to produce nothing with your mind. So we know the heart carries the burden of concerns. That's where it all has to start. But if it doesn't register up here, you ain't going to get nothing. You'll get nothing. I always think of the heart as being the dirt, the ground, and the head as being above the ground, you know. And you can have all the good in the world inside your heart, but if nothing turns on up here, ain't a thing gonna come up above the surface. No, nothing will come up above the surface, but you let something happen here, oh, the heart will start letting, releasing stuff to the mind. The heart will release those things to the mind, and the mind will bring them straight up through the earth and shoot some up as high as the Empire State Building, Sears Tower, or whatever the highest building is now. Shoot it straight up there. Great construction. Cost of the intellect. First words of revelation. Read. That's a signal to the intellect. Read is a signal to the intellect. What a powerful way of communicating. To turn man on so he can make progress down the road of his destiny. I say down the road of his destiny. Because mankind was up in the sky. God had to bring him down. Yes. And the revelation descended. And the people who searched for an ideal place to start their society in Scripture said they were looking for a place, not high in the mountain, they were looking for a plain land, down from the mountain. Huh? Yes! So don't drift out there, don't go out in space, never come home, never come home. Let us turn on our intellects and become more productive intellectually. But not as intellectuals. Not as intellectuals. This modern world intellectuals are another group of enslaved people. That's all they are. Our intellectuals, what are they producing for us? I'm not talking about the few that we can point to that's wonderful. I'm talking about to our people intellectual body. What is our intellectual body producing for us? They're not even in touch with us. They have forgotten their calling. The people are still not home. And they have forgotten their calling. They're going every which way but the right way. They should be addressing the mental state of their people. And planning for the better mental and intellectual future of the whole. They should be seeing themselves with the responsibility of Moses. Moses had the responsibility of leading a people into establishment who had been under another people as slaves and servants. Yes. Now we come to expression in the Quran, Qadnasittin, Qadnasittin. We don't need all the people to become intellectuals. We don't need all the people to become Abu Rush. Abu Sina, Averroes and Avicenna, scientists. No. All we need is the body of people that are turned on to these sciences to be responsible to God, number one, but also to their community, to their society, to the people that they belong to. Be responsible to them to see their whole condition. And don't just produce for the world, produce first for your people. And then you'll produce the most for the world. Yes! We trying to come up with some idea, want to produce something for the world. No, look at your people, study the needs of your people. Produce something for your people to elevate them, to bring them up where they can have respect with other bodies of people. Do that first. And then you'll be doing something for the whole world. Yes, that'll be your greatest contribution to the whole world. That you have made the right contribution to your people. And I'm not speaking as a racial person. No, I'm speaking as a community person. We are a community of people. We can't even really unite on color. We'd be divided if we try to unite on color. Because some of you are Shinola black, and some of you are almost navy bean white. That'd be pretty difficult trying to unite. But we are people subjected to one history and one circumstance. We are people sharing one past, and therefore fitted or doomed to one present. Right? Yes. And our future depends on us doing what? Letting the mind work on our problem. Need more than that soul to work on the problem, brother. We got to have our mind work on the problem. Yes, and this is not just good for us. This is good for all people. If I was speaking to the Spanish community, this is a good speech for them. This is the right sermon for them, or the right speech, or whatever you want to call it, for the Spanish community, or for the Africans in Africa. It's right for them, too. Because after all, when you look at the African on the continent of Africa, we know some of them better off than others. But when you look at the Africans, our foreparents, on the continent of Africa, and look at the European nation and the Asian nation, when you look at all of them, you see a Negro plight on the global scene. Right? Yeah, that's what you see. You see the plight of the Negro on the global scene. We're in Pharaoh's house. We're in the house of great works and great armies and great inventions and sciences. We're in the house of plenty. America, greatest country on earth today. Greatest country on earth. We are here. So we look at the vice and we still see them ahead of us. We see them above us. We see them ahead of us. We see them really in control of our destiny rather than we having our destiny in our own hands. We see that. But look at Africa, and then look at the whole globe. And Africa, Africa is in what? The control of the white and Asian world. It's subject to the white and Asian world. And they fall for the game. If they had been strong like China, they'd be in much better shape. But what do? Oh, you got independence now, but you don't have the wealth we have. You're trying to start a little industry here, but you don't seem to have the economic finesse or the economic skills to really be responsible for it. Well, the World Bank will loan you how many billion you want. Now they're enslaved to debt. Yes, African nations enslaved to debt. If you would look at the whole globe, put it together, and say what people on this globe are carrying the greatest amount of debt, you'd have to say Africa. Africa, more indebted than any other part of the world, Africa. No good. And what are they producing? Some countries get their independence overnight. Look at Korea. Korea's war-torn, not developed, then war-torn, but those people are so industrious, now they're competing on the world market, producing goods, selling them everywhere. Yes. Yeah. Got their automobiles? How many automobiles coming out of Africa? What's coming out of there? But the same thing that primitive agricultural man produced. Dashikis and caftans, turbans and sandals, slippers, toothbrushes and awls and scents. Some gems that they found in the earth, haven't made a industrial tool out of them yet. The industrial man that got his intellect turned on, he found the diamond, and he didn't just say, I got something that looks pretty on me. He said, hell, this thing is hard. He made a tool out of it, a diamond tool cut through steel, like steel is a piece of butter. Yeah. And we look at him and marvel. Some of us look at him and can't think. Brain become constipated. That's because of the circumstances we've been put in. All spiritualized and haven't been turned on to rational life. We have to be turned on to rational life. So the world is presented to man, to his intellect mainly. Heart, sure, but the intellect is the one that's going to bring it about. Intellect has to get on the job and do what the heart wants. The whole world is presented as man's field for cultivation, planting, and harvest. Isn't that a wonderful description God gives us of the whole world? God wants us to know that he created the whole world, the ground, sky, everything, as a field for you to cultivate. That means use your intelligence, use your rational intelligence. Think about it. Try to understand it. Try to learn how it works to benefit you, human beings. And then invest in it. That's planting. And then invest in it and reap the harvest of your investment. So really the simple level of investing, of studying the creation and investing in it and reaping a harvest is seen in a little garden you have, huh? In a little garden on the ground, or a little piece of farmland that you set in the land and you say, I can put this here, I can put some trees here, apple trees here, a little orchard here, and I can plow this part of the land. It looks like it's good for corn. I'll grow me some corn there. You study it, you see what you need. Then you invest the labor, you invest the seeds, you collect it, you invest seeds and you invest labor, and then you reap harvest. God wants us to see the whole creation that he made like that. That he created this whole world for you to engage it with your rational mind, with your intellect, and then study it and see what use can it yield for the benefit of human beings in a human society or in a human order. See what benefits it can yield, and then invest what you have to invest in terms of intelligence, labor, physical as well as mental. Study what you have to invest. Invest even material things, because the farmer has to risk losing some material grain, right? See, another thing. Becoming spiritualized too much makes you spooky. It makes you not take risks that are practical, but you'll take any risk that is spooky. Oh, I'm going to the lottery. I'm going to put my money in the lottery. Why? It's spooky. That's why it's spooky. Ain't no way for me to calculate how I'm going to win. All I know is some people win every now and then. Out of 260-some million, we have a winner every now and then. So hell is no chance. That's how come I won't take my risk. Ain't no chance, man. I'm going to take this risk. But we come to you with collective purchasing conference, and we say, here is an investment here you can make, and we're going to show you rationally how you can get the return on it. Ain't no chance. That I ain't no risk here. Ain't no chance I'm gonna lose. The chance ain't 260 million to one. Oh no, I ain't interested. So we have to invest. And God says, and he gave every creature his needs in four periods, or in four measures. every creature, every living thing, God says he's given them their needs in four measures. What is it talking about? It's talking about community. That every creature is to find his needs in his community. That's where he's to find his needs. Mankind finds his needs and his establishment in mankind community. That's the reality. If you're not owned by men or by people, that goes for every other living thing. Yes, the plant will find its needs and its establishment in the community of its own life, of its kind. Animals, they find their needs and their establishment. The wolf can become the leader of the pack, but in the wolf community. And he can also have meat to eat in the wolf community. He get out of there, he's in trouble. And likewise for us, if we get out of the human community, we're in trouble. So, you know, we ain't going to go nowhere by ourselves. Our life is to be realized in community. So we want to become business people, teachers, whatever we want to become. Study your community first and see what your community needs. And then see how you can complement and contribute to that community. That's what you should be doing. That's what your teachers have been teaching you before me and now. If they're teaching, if they're still with the reality, that's what they're saying. It's nothing new. But we have to get more people to respond. And I think God has given us the way to do that. Yes, community. Now we know the old philosophers in religion, they identified the four necessities as earth, wind, water, fire. Right? So right away, I'm sure some of you students of the ancient symbols, when I said that right away, supplied the needs in four measures or in four fields. You saw earth, wind, and water, and fire, you know? But actually, we don't come from that. Earth, wind, water, and fire is all in the ground, right? In the ground. The ground is what brings up the life. God says he brought everything up out of the earth for us. He supports us from the sky and from the earth. And he caused the rain to come down from the sky, and it wet the ground, and up come the living things upon which you feed, from which you support yourself, upon which you support yourself. So it's from the earth. And the earth got water and earth or ground, and it's got fire. See, the greatest miracle wasn't fire coming down from heaven, according to the Bible. For Moses' people, fire came from the earth. And the Bible says, and the greatest miracle came, he brought fire up from the earth. Fire up from the earth. So fire down from the heaven is one fire. Fire from the earth is another fire. And we know we need fuel to warm our houses in the winter, right? We get it straight from the earth. We get our heat from the earth. And we said men in primitive times would bring logs and trees together and build a big fire to protect them from the cold. And they would keep putting wood on the fire to survive in the open air until the night was over, until the cold night was over. The fire was coming out of material things. Great miracle that he brought fire out of the earth. Fire of the earth. This is symbol for industry, that man's intellect was turned on and he began to utilize the benefits of the earth for the comforts and progress of his society. Community. The Bible tells us that a great civilization developed in a certain part of the earth, and says, the rivers, four rivers went out, and it mentioned two, the Euphrates and the Tigris, huh? Four rivers went out to water the garden. Again, the whole world is described as a garden. And the four rivers went out to water the garden. Four. And then later we hear of four winds. This is scripture. Four winds. four waters, four winds. And then we hear the four corners of the earth. Four corners. Now, we know the earth is not square. It's round. But the Bible, Scripture speaks of the four corners of the earth. And in ancient symbols, if I had a blackboard, I could do for you, then the star that represents nation or community is a square with a double square placed over it so that the angles all show. So you have an eight-point star by placing a square over another square. You get an eight-point star. Presently, that's the star of the Islamic world, not the fire point. The star of the Arab people, even, is this star, the eight-point. Morocco, the eight-point star. Morocco has the eight-point star. And, you know, because of the Western influence now, you'll find Islamic nations or Muslim nations having the five-point star. But if you question them, they say, no, really, that's not, no, the star we have is eight-point. The star is eight-point star. And it, what does it mean? It's talking about the world. The four represent the world. And not only that, it's a universal symbol. Even the, what these people are called, just a moment, I'll give you their name. Hitler went back to them. The Hittites. The Hittites. They were great people from the European family, so-called white people, and they had axis like this. They call it the universal axis of the world. And if you've seen Hitler, what do they call that thing? Swastika. Swastika. If you've seen that swastika, it's like this, this, this. But they usually put it in a circle, don't they? And what they've done is taken the square and made a swastika out of it. And they imagine, and the circle means it's revolving. So it's supposed to be a symbol of the whole universe, all matter, revolving. And they call it an axis. And it has four points, really. It's broken up like that, but it's actually seen, as if you put it properly, as being square. So all the cross that we have is a symbol of the whole world. It's a symbol of universe, the universe. Cross is a symbol of the whole universe. Starts with man, that he's a cross, see? But it refers to the whole universe because that was the universal language. That the universe is on an axis, it's a square, like this. And where they get it from? Sun comes up from the east, it sets in the west. So that's one direction, two. Cold is in the north, and heat is in the south. Four directions. So from the four directions, they get this idea that the whole universe is to be seen on a kind of geographic square like, a square like. So this is it. And when Islam takes this language and says to us that God provides for you your needs in four measures, means that your needs are supplied to you from the whole universe. From the whole universe you get your needs. And the proof of this is that God says, and for his devotees who please him with their life in this world, he's going to give them a cultivation, a land, a garden to cultivate. Says in the expanse of that garden is as the expanse of the heavens and the earth. In other words, it's the whole universe. It's the whole universe. God is saying he's given man the whole universe for his benefit, for him to benefit from the whole universe. So he supplies our needs from the whole world. And we reduce this down to a community, man needs is supplied by community. And each person, each people should have their community. We Americans, we live in the American community. But America is a nation of nations. This is not my language. This is the language of our history in America. America is a nation of nations, or a people of many people. A people of many people, not one people. And no knowledge or no plan, no provision is in America to take care of us separately. We are citizens of this country. The obligation of this country is government, is government leaders, is to serve the people as a people and not as races. So you're not going to continue to get any special help as a race in this country? That's becoming more and more unacceptable. And we cannot reverse the clock. Slavery is gone. Plantation day is gone. Freedom is here. Inclusion is here. Responsibility for your own is here. Oh, if the Irish people don't care about Irish people, they're not going to have as good a life in America as other people who care about their own. Just look at the individual family. If you don't care about your wife, you don't care about your children, America's here for you just like it is for me. I'm thriving. I'm riding in a nice car every day. You look like S-H-I-T and your whole family and stink like hell. That's your fault, isn't it? But we say, all of us living in the land of plenty. My family's going out smelling like roses, riding in a nice comfortable car. You don't hear any screams. Soft violin music. Your little shack trembling. Your car puffing and puffing and puffing. And the radio on so loud, you shake my windows when you come through the neighborhood. Then nobody fixed you to that kind of life. Now, if some of your own people don't care about you, you may be left that way forever. Thank God he put in us love for goodness, love for righteousness, love for him. And some of us just can't sleep at night knowing that we got crazy, destroyed people all around us. No, we can't sleep at night. We ain't gonna be happy. So we have a plan. And we don't need all of you to become scientists. We don't need all of you to become business-minded. All we need you to do is just appreciate the good work that the selected few will do for the rest of us. Just appreciate it. And we can bring the whole people up. Yes, we can bring the whole people up. Never in the history of civilization has it taken a great mass of people to change their circumstances from poor to rich, or from bad to better. No! It only took a select few. That select few accept the responsibility for the many. And they began to build for the many and provide opportunities for the many. So we have a country to provide opportunities for. But if your brain ain't turned on, if your mind ain't turned on to the value of these opportunities and the benefit that is there, you're not motivated. Something has to happen to bring that about. And sometimes talking and preaching ain't enough. We need people to produce a material model. And that's what God has equipped us to do. To produce a material model of success and provide for the care of all. Thank you very much, and that's what we're going to do. As-salamu alaykum. Peace be upon
you. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-201-9692 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.